Oftentimes, in our lives, we can be like the young man in the story today. We can ask a question of God, and the answer we get doesn't make us very happy at all. Before I entered the seminary, I'd been a school teacher for the 10 years prior. Most of the time I taught sixth grade. When I would have the students do a project, you know, you would hand them out what they needed to do with the list of things and the directions. And immediately, several hands would shoot up. And yes, what must I do to get an A? The big question, right? Echoing the question of the rich young man. What must I do to get an A? And much like Jesus, you would sit there and say, well, what does it say? Okay, I must do this and this and this and this and this. Okay. But what must I do to get an A? And that's where the discussion began, right? Because some students were very artistic, for instance. So you would expect within their project that artistic expression to show itself more than, let's say, those students who are exceedingly careful and neat and put everything in little squares and boxes. And you would expect that to show up. Or the students that are very creative and imaginative, or the other gifts that each student had. And so in that discussion you had with the students, you reminded them that each one of them had different talents and gifts, and that the idea wasn't about getting an A, although that's a nice outcome. The idea was knowing the subject matter, because that is the purpose of learning. And Jesus today, in the gospel, challenges the young man to know him. Because oftentimes we get stuck on go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Jesus doesn't tell everybody that in the gospel. When he meets James and John at the seashore, what does he say? Put down your nets and follow me. When he is going to the house of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, who are very wealthy, right? They own a big house. They throw lots of parties for friends of Jesus. He doesn't say to them, go, sell everything you have. Rather, he says, come and let us be entertained in your house. Let us gather. Let us be there with you. Because it's always that second part that is most important. Come, follow me. Be with me. Because just as a teacher looks at a student and sees the gifts that they have, today in the gospel we hear that Jesus looked at him and loved him. When the disciples are complaining about how do we get to heaven? This is crazy. What does it say? Jesus looked at them. He saw them. What we hear in that letter to the Hebrews today gives us that insight of how Jesus looks at us. He sees through all the outer trappings. He doesn't care if we're rich or poor, if we're a man or a woman, if we're tall or short, if we took a shower today or didn't take a shower today. He doesn't care. He's looking at us and seeing within us who we are and calling us to be who we are. So when he looked at the rich young man today, he said, to be who you are, you must give all those things that you have that are holding you back away. Because you will be rewarded even more greatly in heaven. And isn't that where the rich young man wanted to go? That was his first question. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus tells him and says, in heaven, you will have gifts beyond measure what you have now. And yet he goes away sad because he didn't want to hear that it was going to take more sacrifice. He didn't want to hear that it was going to take maybe a little bit of suffering. And he was comfortable knowing Jesus as he knew him rather than following him and as the disciples did, getting to know him more and more along the way. And that's a challenge that each one of us has as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus looks at you. He loves you. Looks at me and he loves me too. And he sees, invites you to follow him. And no two of us are going to follow Jesus the exact same way. Might be pretty close. We might like hanging out with a certain group of people because we can follow Jesus better. That's why we gather as church. Why we don't do it by ourselves. But we will each be invited to follow in our own particular way as God sees us, as a beloved daughter, as a beloved son. He will invite us to follow him. To serve him through our brothers and sisters, through our neighbors, our friends, the stranger, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the dying, the rich. He will invite us to serve him as we serve our holy church. And we serve our holy church both explicitly and implicitly, right? Explicitly, we have these wonderful altar servers who are serving the church today in the many times that they step forward. We have our choir, our lectors, those who invite us into the church, the hospitality. Those who will be Eucharistic ministers who help set up in the sacristy, who do all the religious education, who care for the poor, the sick, the dying, who bring communion to those who are homebound and in prison, and all the many things that we do as a church explicitly. But that implicit following of Jesus, that implicit serving of Jesus, where when we are out on the street by ourselves and we're not carrying our big I'm a Catholic sign on our head, and we care for the hurt, the broken, where we take time to sit and listen, where we choose to be patient rather than impatient. In all of those ways, we too are serving God through his holy church because we are carrying the gospel message into the world. That's what everyone is challenged to do. That is what we are all called to do. Because following Jesus doesn't mean coming here, sitting for an hour, and then going home. It means coming here, lifting our voices, being filled with his Holy Spirit, and going out and being agents of mercy, agents of blessing, agents of hope, agents of change in the world. And that is God's invitation to each one of us. To come follow his son and to serve him through and in his holy church. And over the past several weeks, we have been talking about that through stewardship, time, talent, treasure. First couple weeks, we have been focusing on treasure. What can we give of the generosity of God back? And now we're kind of making that slow transition. Our time and our talent. How can we serve God in who we are by what we do? And so next week, we are invited as a church to, over this next week, I'm sorry, we are invited as a church to ponder and to ask that question, to bring it to prayer, to ask that question, God, how do I get to heaven? How do I serve you in your holy church? How do I serve my brothers and sisters? How do I serve your holy people? And next Sunday, we'll have our ministry mingle, right, where all the ministries of the church, especially those that explicitly serve the church, are inviting others to come and join them. But we always have to remind ourselves that it isn't just about joining. Sometimes it is about leaving. Sometimes it's about saying, I need to move on from what I am doing into where God is calling me now. Because our relationship with Jesus grows and changes. And how we are called to serve him in the church will grow and will change. And we should not be afraid. Oftentimes we can say to ourselves, if we're doing a ministry in the church, if I leave, who is going to do it? Well, look around, guys. You can see a replacement sitting in one of the pews. Right? It is that invitation of serving God, not to be afraid, to listen to that voice of service, and to share the gifts that God has given to us in abundance and in generosity. So, as we continue with this wonderful Eucharistic celebration, we come to the altar knowing the answer to the question, what must I do to gain eternal life? Come, follow me.